Stay with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Sulis. Interested in learning new skills online at a pace that suits you? Visit ecollege.ie to apply for one of our free online courses.
Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1.
In Ukraine, Russian troops continue to withdraw from the southern city of Kherson after military officials announced the decision on Russian state TV yesterday. Now, for several months, Ukraine has been pursuing a campaign to force Russian troops from the western bank of the Dnipro River. So this latest development is a significant moment in the war. But there are reports this morning that Ukraine remains sceptical over the withdrawal. Well, to take a closer look at this, I'm joined on the line by Scott Lucas, Professor Emeritus in International Politics at the University of Birmingham. And I'm joined from Russia by Diana Magnay, Moscow correspondent for Sky News. Thank you both for joining us. And Scott, first to you, the Russian withdrawal, we know it's not yet fully complete. And this sense of caution on the Ukrainian side, what's your take on this moment?
Well, the take is, first of all, Claire, that in any military situation, you don't declare victory, you don't declare triumph until the process is completed. And the fact is that while Russia has now confirmed that it will withdraw from Kherson, which I think is a turning point in this war, it will take some time for those forces, because they're scrambling to get across the Dnipro River to the other side of the Kherson region. And that brings up two issues. First of all, Russia has already had a very chaotic war, and I don't think this retreat will necessarily be that organized. And secondly, of course, Ukraine will not only want to regain and liberate Kherson City, they'll want to liberate the rest of the region. And that will mean that they'll want to pursue those Russian troops who are actually destroying bridges to try to check any Ukrainian attempt to advance further.
Mm-hmm. Diana from Russia, what is the reaction there where you are to the announcement?
Well, it's pretty mixed. There are some commentators, and everything happens on the social media app Telegram here, really. There are some who are saying that this is the biggest military catastrophe since Soviet times. State television is essentially trying to kind of brush over it, following the logic of the general who runs operations in Ukraine, General Sirovikin, yesterday, who informed the defense minister of this decision, that this is being done to save the lives of Russian servicemen, which makes a lot of sense to kind of plug that line, given the fact that this war really came home to the Russian people with mobilization. So if the military generals look as if they're looking out for Russian troops, I think that's one way of sort of sweetening the blow. And also, you know, this has been signposted on Russian TV and discussed for some weeks now. When General Sirovikin came into this role about a month ago, he said, I am going to have to make difficult decisions, particularly possibly around Kherson, because this has been a grinding counteroffensive by Ukraine since August to try and recapture Kherson and the surrounding region. And, you know, it hasn't been going particularly smoothly for either party, and it has been difficult to ascertain what's going on. And I think Russia has finally decided that it is better to take up defensive positions on the eastern side of the Dnipro River ahead of the winter and sort of consolidate its positions along a line, sit it out, and hope that that will at some point, possibly after the winter, force Ukraine into negotiations.
And Scott, in your view, does this open up the possibility of more Russian-occupied territory now being taken back by Ukraine?
Absolutely. I mean, Diane is absolutely right to say, look, this is a difficult battlefront, so we're not going to have sudden victories. But both in the northeast and east and in the south, the pattern since late August has been that the Ukrainians have been able to gradually advance further, and then they have a sudden breakthrough. The withdrawal from Kherson is the latest breakthrough. So here's the overall position. It's only a matter of time before Russia loses all of the territory that it has gained in 2022. And I think that will eventually include, by the way, the city of Mariupol, who held out for 12 weeks before falling in the spring. The question will be whether Ukraine actually advances on territory that Russia has occupied since 2014. And that includes parts of the east and, of course, the Crimean Peninsula, which Putin annexed to great fanfare 8 years ago.
Do you believe that we could be headed now for some sort of negotiation if Russia finds itself in this position that you've just outlined?
Not while Vladimir Putin's in power. And I need to knock this on the head, because there's figures from the right, figures from the left, even some prominent commentators who are saying, oh, you have to have negotiations. You have to have the diplomatic off-ramp. And Vladimir Putin doesn't want to negotiate. This was to be his legacy. He was going to conquer Ukraine, make it part of Greater Russia, and give it to the Russian people. When you invest so much in that, you cannot negotiate your way out of a defeat. The only way we get negotiations, and this is what I'm watching right now, is if there are figures around Putin who try to push him to the side, both political and military figures. And if that happened, then you've got a possible attempt to, possibility of talks which could try to resolve this conflict. Okay.
Diana, what can you tell us about that? I mean, has he responded to the Kherson news?
Well, Vladimir Putin's sort of position on Kherson has, he's acted completely as though it's nothing to do with him. And I think he's doing that for a reason, in that he wants to suggest that the military have got this one under control and he doesn't have to worry himself. And to a certain extent, I think it also suggests that he's not micromanaging the whole business. So we haven't seen any kind of grand pronouncements from Vladimir Putin. I don't know that I'd agree so much with what Luke was saying about the fact that it will be impossible to have negotiations at this stage. You know, Ukraine has now said that they've sort of retracted a bit from the statement that that Zelensky said that he would never negotiate with Putin. And the sounds that I'm hearing from the Kremlin are more and more that they hope at some point to get to a situation where they can at least sort of freeze the conflict where it is. Because it's clearly not going particularly well for them. And, perhaps if Donetsk and Luhansk stay forever Russia, there can be some kind of discussion done around Kherson and Zaporizhia, which they've declared annexed, but which clearly aren't. And we actually had comments from Mark Milley, the U.S. Chief of Staff, to CNN, saying that after the winter, there is the possibility we could be looking at negotiations if the front lines stay frozen as they are. So I definitely get the sense here that Kherson and the withdrawal might be a foundation for some kind of talks. Because at the end of the day, you know, wars end in two ways, with the withdrawal of forces or with negotiations. So who knows when that will be. But I know that the sounds from the Kremlin, whether those are to be believed or not, is that they are kind of looking towards some kind of negotiation at some point.
Okay. Diana Magne, Moscow correspondent with Sky News, and Professor Scott Lucas, thank you both for joining us on the programme. Back after this quick break.
Text 51551 today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1.